9 o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network here in the Valley. 101.1 FM, 1340 AM along Highway 50, 102.1 online at our website. Get the mobile app at theteam1340.com. We'll talk about the possibility of Deion Sanders becoming the Buffs' next head coach coming up. Got some thoughts on that today. Should the Broncos fire Nathaniel Hackett? We went through the numbers in the 7 o'clock hour about why firing a coach after one season isn't necessarily always a great idea. The many, many times that one-and-done coaches, the guys that follow, things have not gone well. This is from The Athletic. Since the 1970 merger, there have been 29 one-and-done coaches over 17 different organizations. And they also factor in here Lou Holtz.
Carl Lou Holtz. We did the Jets back in 76.
And Bobby Petrino, dirtbag, with the Falcons in 07.
What a dirtbag.
What an absolute dirtbag. So there have been 29 of those coaches, 17 different organizations of one and done coaches. And for the most part, that 20 of the 22 owners who employed a one-and-done head coach never won a Super Bowl after that coach's departure, including 9 current owners who still have a chance to maybe change that narrative. And so, for the most part, it's been two coaches that have gone to win Super Bowls. Bill Walsh, who was a one-and-done replacement, and he only won two games his first year, so it was amazing that he didn't get canned. That's because ownership in San Francisco fired Joe Thomas, who was the GM at that time, and that was the reason why Walsh was given another year, because Thomas was shown the door. And Pete Carroll in Seattle. I mean, that's it. Three owners won Super Bowls before they fired a coach after a single season. Al Davis, 3 with the Raiders. Jack Kent Cook, 3 with Washington. And Packers president, chairman, CEO Bob Harlan, 1. And so history kind of shows that it doesn't tend to work out. You fire a coach after one season, and the next time, you know, it's not like you bring somebody in, all of a sudden they turn everything around, and all of a sudden it's you know, you go from 3 wins to 10 or 11 wins. It doesn't happen. Even like in the case of Bill Walsh. Now, he took the Niners to 3 Super Bowls, but his first year they were 2-14. And they could have easily canned him, but they didn't. And they were smart to not do that. I'm not saying that the Nathaniel Hackett is the answer. I'm just going on what the information tells us. And what the numbers tell us is that you're usually not any better off. So, with that, Buckeye, does that change your opinion about if the Broncos should fire Nathaniel Hackett? Knowing what the data says.
No, not really. I still don't think he's the answer. I also am not using this on, oh, wow, they look bad through 11 games. They're 3-8, the offense. I didn't think he was the answer the first time around because there were still so many outstanding questions of how much of it was Nathaniel Hackett, how much of it was Aaron Rodgers. His best non-Aaron Rodgers season when it comes to quarterback play was barely average with Blake Bortles. You're like, oh, they got into the... Well, their running game was great, and it helps when you have Leonard Fournette, who is a very good running back, and a great offensive line, neither of which the Broncos really have. Javonte Williams may get there. We don't know yet. Offensive line definitely isn't great. So no. There's those questions going into the season, and then you add Russ into the mix, and it looks bad. They could have gotten this sort of result with Drew Locke or Teddy Bridgewater or Trevor Siemian or Brock, any of the other guys they've had the last 8 years.
And I can't say that's wrong.
Right. They could have gotten this same record. You know, I'm taking a look at, you know, just some other guys like, you know, Sean McDermott was above 500. Then he had a 6-10 his second year. So, you know, kind of give guys a little bit of a pass on their first year. I don't think one and done is the answer for anything. And I know that those two are kind of fight each other, right? Like, I don't think Nathaniel Hackett's the answer. I don't think firing a guy after 1 year is going to really help. But if the guy isn't the answer anyway, you need to move on. The way the NFL works, you cannot just sit on your hands for 2 or 3 years if you know a guy isn't going to get the job done. And you can look at that with Vance Joseph, Vic Fangio. Now you're on to Nathaniel Hackett. Vance Joseph got 2 years. Vic got 3. I don't think Nathaniel Hackett should get either of those amount. I just don't think he's the guy. I think you need to move on and try to find the guy.
And I think the situation's different. When you had, when Vic Fangio was there, there was COVID played a role.
Yeah.
In the development of Drew Lock, the constant change of offensive coordinators, there was that feeling that in time the offense will get better, kind of like it is right now. At some point, that Drew Lock will put the pieces together. The offense will be a good complement to a pretty good defense.
Yeah,
and things will be better. And there was this willingness to be more patient.
Mm-hmm.
That was before they went out and made the trade for Russell Wilson. That changed everything. And plus, new ownership.
That changed your expectations dramatically.
You had the trustees. You had Joe Ellis, who I don't feel like has done this franchise any favors, and how things have been handled. But no longer there, so we can't keep throwing rocks at Joe Ellis, nor can we throw rocks at John Elway. But I think the situation is now dramatically different. The expectation levels you referenced is dramatically different. You invested a lot of draft capital and a lot of cash into Russell Wilson. Was it foolhardy to give him the extension? Right now it's looking like yes. The moment, yes. And I still feel like ultimately this will work out.
Right.
But not with the cast of characters that we have right now.
Not with everybody.
No.
That they have at the helm. And just look at some of the guys that have been in and have won Super Bowls the last few years, right? Like Zach Taylor. Defending AFC champion head coach. He started his career in Cincinnati 2-14, 4-11-1. They got themselves a franchise quarterback, and he's won 17-11 since the start of last year. Andy Reid, he started way back in Philly in 99. His first season was 5-11. But you could see that there were glimpses that he knew what he was doing and it was gonna be all right. Then he reeled off 5 straight double-digit win seasons, and then he had a 6-10. And he's been under 500 once since then. That was 2005. He's been under 500 one season since 1999. Or sorry, two. He's had a 6-10 and a 4-12 in Philadelphia. That got him canned. Then he went to Kansas City, and his worst season was 9-7. So gave Andy Reid some time. But the NFL was different in 99 than it is now. So maybe you go with a guy that was an NFC champion a few years ago, Kyle Shanahan. 6-10, 4-12. He's got a pair of 6-10s. But he's also got a pair of NFC championship game
and a trip to the Super Bowl.
Bruce Arians won the Super Bowl with the Bucs. His first season as head coach of the Colts, he was interim for Chuck Pagano. He started out of the gates hot. His worst season as a head coach was 7-8-1. I'm reading fast, but
it's okay.
It's a guy that had a good cast around him. Then he went to Arizona and didn't have a great cast at the end there, but he could make some things work. I don't have confidence that Nathaniel Hackett can make things work.
And look, and part of me, I hate this because I hate this for our friend Ben Steele, because this does not bode well for him.
No, it doesn't.
I hope that, you know, new regime, whatever happens as far as new coach, whatever that looks like, that Ben is still part of this organization. I really, really do. But we know how that normally works.
Right.
That normally, some guys stay, most of the time they want to bring their guys in. And you're on the outside looking in. I hope that's not the case for Ben. But I just feel like that the urgency is here. With the new ownership group that we've had reports, they've been very embarrassed about what they've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And they have every right to be embarrassed. And then with Vic, too, you felt like, okay, the he's responsible for the defense. The defense has played really well.
Right.
And I read a really good piece on Fangio right now. He's not coaching for anybody. He's just he's kind of sitting back and waiting to see what next year looks like. But he has been watching mm-hmm. a lot of tape. He's been coming up with new wrinkles in terms of he's going to be a coordinator again at some point.
And he's going to be really good at it.
Yeah, and because I think that's just what he does.
Yes.
Kind of like Wade back in the day. Wade mm-hmm. Phillips, not a great head coach, phenomenal defensive coordinator.
Well, a ton of guys all over the place.
There's a lot of guys that are like that. But I think in the case of Fangio, that being the head coach, his side of the football is playing really well. Just got to figure out the other side of it. Well, now for Nathaniel Hackett, you can say, wait a minute, we brought him in to fix the offense.
Mm-hmm.
The offense is one of the worst in the league. So why did we hire him again?
Right.
And, or in the case of the ownership group, why did George Payton hire him? It's, the expectation levels are different. It's changed from, and it does, the dynamics change from coach to coach.
Mm-hmm.
And with a new ownership group, the expectation was, this team is going to get it turned around and turned around right now, thanks to two things something we didn't do, which was hire Nathaniel Hackett, but also bringing in Russell Wilson, which they had nothing to do with as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there were conversations there because it looked like they were going to end up being the ones with the Walton Pinter group. But they're the ones that signed off on the extension.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to put up with watching this mm-hmm. for another season. They have no loyalty, as I mentioned.
Right.
There's no loyalty to George Payton, who's now very much on the hot seat.
Yeah.
And Nathaniel Hackett in particular. Payton's probably going to get another year. He's going to get some grace, I think, here.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a deserved, but he definitely
will. He's going to get it.
A handful of points to kind of react to what you're saying. With the old coaches, Fangio, Joseph, we kind of had an idea of where the buck stopped, but it kind of slowed to a stop, right?
Right.
The buck comes to a screeching halt now that you have an owner, right?
Right.
The buck stopped at somebody's desk who is going to make that decision because
it's Greg Penner now.
We invested however many billions of dollars to win Super Bowls, not be early on draft night, which now you don't have because you traded them for Russell Wilson.
Exactly.
Ben Steele on the thing with that, you know, I do see a little bit. Not necessarily Ben specifically, but some of the coaches, it's like, well, it's chicken poop. Just make chicken salad. Well, yes, that's a saying and it's cute, but usually chicken poop stays chicken poop.
Yeah.
So what Ben has to work with is not, there's only so much he can do, right?
Him and Butch Berry both.
Butch Berry both. There's not a lot he can do, but they are going to probably within the next year or two lose their jobs, unfortunately, because that's just the way the NFL works. And that ties into the greater point about coaches is we talked about how the NFL was a different time when Andy Reid started just 23 years ago. You'd still have that patience. Not saying it's right. I think that most coaches should get at least 2 years. But the way the NFL works right now, we've seen it. We saw it with the first-year quarterback, first-round draft pick in, Josh Rosen?
Yeah.
He didn't even get a calendar year, and they were moved on from him already. Now, yes, you could see the writing on the wall, but that does apply to Nathaniel Hackett, right? Do you have any confidence in Nathaniel Hackett that, man, just one more year and he's going to get it done? I don't.
Jim,
and I don't have any overflowing optimism about this team in general.
Yeah, Jim and the Buckeye Boy today, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. It's the good, the bad, the ugly today. Send it to us. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. We talked about, you know, having the retread guys like the Pat Shermers and on Fangio staff. And mm-hmm. I was looking, I'll admit, I was one that, hey, got young and up and coming guys, Dwayne Stukes, you've got Justin Outen, you've got Ejiro Vero, you've got these young guys, right? Young coaching staff.
Yeah.
Going to bring an energy to the building. There's something to be said, though, for experience, older experience. We like to quickly run it out of town
mm-hmm.
for the new hot thing that's going on. There's something to be said for that, of a mixture of, of young coaches, young and up and coming guys, but guys that are veteran guys. And this this coaching staff doesn't have those guys.
No.
It just doesn't. So when crap goes bad, who do you lean on? Outside of Dom Capers, who's a consultant, who do you lean on here?
Jerry Rosberg.
You have those two guys who are consultants. They're not on the coaching staff.
Right.
They're consulting. I mean, Jerry kind of is because he's in-game management. But but Dom Capers is pretty much just a consultant. And so you're in a spot where you don't have veteran coaches to... Saturday's got that, whether he uses it or not, in Indianapolis with the guys that he has, like John Fox on that staff. Guys that have been head coaches or been coordinators that you can go to them and talk to them.
Mm-hmm. But damn, even Jeff Saturday's got a little bit of, guys, I've been here.
Yeah.
Who on this staff has that of a cachet to the level of Jeff Saturday, an all-pro offensive line, all-pro center?
Not really.
There's nobody on this staff that's like, that guy won at a high level and was a key contributor. Maybe he's right. And for all the knocks we give Jeff Saturday, there is something to be said about experience in the moment and the ability to bring stability, right? Last year,
the
Broncos,
I like that.
Thank you. Last year, the Broncos were average. They lost to teams that were better than them. They beat teams that were worse than them. This year, they're bad. At this very day, November 28th, last year, the Broncos beat the Chargers, were 6-5. And they finished 7-10.
Yeah.
They're not sniffing 7-10.
They're not going to get to 7 wins this season. It's not going to happen.
Beat the Jags, the Jets, the Giants, the fighting WFTs. The surprising one was beating the Cowboys in Dallas.
And dominating in that game.
Beat the Chargers, beat the Lions. All teams last year, the Broncos probably were better than. Last year, lost to the Ravens at the Steelers, got swept by the Raiders, which... The Raiders had a lot of outside problems, but they were a playoff team.
They went to the playoffs. Rich Biasacci did a great job there.
Lost to the Browns and their third-string quarterback, which I believe was Bernie Kosar. Philadelphia.
And backup running backs, too.
Backup running backs. You lost at the Chiefs. You got swept by the Chiefs. You lost to the Chargers in L.A. Got boat raced there. You lost to the Bengals by 5.
Yeah.
Who went to the Super Bowl. So last year was average. That happens. You'll get beat by good teams. You'll get beat by good teams. You'll beat bad teams.
And occasionally you're going to get one like the Cowboys game. You're going to get somebody on an off day.
Yep.
You're playing well. They don't play well and you get them.
But this year, you're better on paper than the Colts. You're better on paper than the Raiders.
Yeah.
The Jets, I don't know.
Panthers, yes.
Absolutely. You should beat the Raiders at home.
Seahawks, you would have thought, right? Yeah. Better than. But that's turned out to not be true.
At that point in the season, absolutely.
Yeah, at that point in the season, yes. Now, no, I can't say that right now.
Damn, at least score some touchdowns, you know?
But that gets back to Hackett, though, and that's the reason they brought him in. That's why George Payton brought him in. And where Fangio, they weren't winning games, but the defense was really good, and he was responsible for that, and he was given credit for that. Guess what? Nathaniel Hackett. You're going to take the blame for the area of the football team that you were supposed to come in and make this a top 15 offense, if not a top 10 offense.
Right.
Hell, I'd dream if they were. I'd be in heaven if they were a top 20 offense right now. I'd take that at this point in time.
The Broncos are on pace to have more turnovers this year than last, and to get turnovers at a fewer rate or a lesser rate than they did last year with a quote-unquote better defense.
Yeah.
Everything has regressed from 7-10.
And so, like I said, I just think that you're at the stage now where, with Nathaniel Hackett, you probably, as much as I tend to agree with what they're saying, the athletic, the numbers are what the numbers are. I think too much damage has been done here. I just don't think that they can stay with him after this season. So let's get to some of the post game, some more of it from yesterday. Here's Russell Wilson talking with Dave Logan after the game on 850 KOA Broncos Radio Network.
It just seemed like you guys were trying to get something going on offense and just couldn't get enough going. You had 7 first downs prior to that last touchdown drive.
Yeah, it's not good enough. We've got to be better. You know, we got to do some things better here and there. And just, you know, the game was in reach, you know, for a while, and then got kind of out of reach. And then we, you know, the thing is we didn't give in at the end, you know, and we just kept fighting. And then, you know, they made several more plays than us, and we got to find a way to make some more plays and everything else and keep believing.
I'll be brief with you. I asked Nathaniel about what was it just from his sideline view in terms of the offense, and he went right to third down. I mean, third down, just being ineffective on third down. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of them were definitely third downs for sure. Sometimes we had third and long. Sometimes we had third and short. We had different opportunities to convert and everything else. But, you know, I think also, too, you know, we got to be able to capitalize when we get opportunities, and we didn't get to do that tonight. Like I said, we had that second to last drive or whatever it was where we went all the way down the field and we kept believing. We ended up getting a touchdown. Our defense was playing hard as they possibly could to give us a chance to get the ball back. You know, it just didn't work out obviously again. So it's frustrating. You know, we should be better than this, you know, all I know is I'm going to keep giving everything I got every day. And we got to make sure we all do that too, and we're all going to do that together. And that's the only way. You know, we can't blink. We can't. As hard as it is, as frustrating as it is, we have an obligation to give everything we have every day. And so that's what we're going to do.
I'll get you out of here on this, and maybe a tough question, but I know you're going to get it when you go to the press conference coming up here shortly. There was an exchange between you and Mike Purcell that looked fairly animated. On the sideline when he came off in a frustrated manner. What was that about?
No, I loved it, man. He came off, man. He came off real pissed off, saying we gotta you know, F and go. You know, we gotta us do something, you know, and I'm the same way, you know, I'm feeling the same thing inside. So, you know, we're me and him on the same page. There's nothing that we're on the same page on. And when we went down that field and drove it down the field, but I feel the same way, you know, and we got to find a way. I mean, we got to have some juice. You got to have some energy, you know. You know, for me, you know, it's always, you know, the next play. You know, it's always got to be my mentality, and you know, it's, you know, so Mike and I, we're on the same page.
Yep. Hey, I appreciate the time.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys.
I don't think you're on the same page.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Like, and I'm just sitting here thinking, too. You know, he's got the arm injury. He's had the hamstring. Remember the high knee lifts going to London?
Yeah.
How much?
Plane flight to Carolina wasn't as long. Couldn't get as much work.
Apparently not. And I'm not trying to make excuses for him.
Yeah.
But I tend to wonder how much of the accuracy issues, some of those things, I think he's just not seeing the field. I just think that he, for whatever reason, his ability to execute this offense and read the defense just isn't there. But I wonder how much the injuries are causing him problems that make things that he normally does, simple things, much more difficult and harder to execute because of that. I just kind of wonder, is him playing through injuries now a real detriment to this football team and to him for 2023? I don't know. I mean, he's
you
out there.
You think it's time?
I don't know.
Let Russ sit?
I wonder.
Broncos country, let's pine.
I get it. He wants to win. He's a competitor. I respect that, and I appreciate that about him. But I do tend to wonder, watching him play, how much of the physical stuff is causing him a problem, and now mentally, as positive as he can be,
mm-hmm.
It's starting to grind on him.
Yeah.
And you made a major investment in this guy. This season's done. The season's over. And if you're Nathaniel Hackett, yeah, you're playing for your job. And Russ, I think in a lot of ways, still gives you that best opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But I tend to wonder if now isn't the time to maybe to shut him down. Say, look, you're not healthy. The things are not going well. We're not a playoff team, not going to be a playoff team. I know you want to win. I know you want to compete. That we need whatever happens moving forward, you're going to be here.
Yeah.
And we're going to hit the reset button in 2023.
And we talk about coaches and
just something I think about.
Longer chances and second chances and whatnot. Steve Wilks has won as many games since October 23rd.
Yeah.
As Nathaniel Hackett's won the whole season.
He's playing himself into maybe an opportunity to be that team's head coach.
He's won more games this interim stint than he did
in Arizona.
In Arizona. He was 3-13. He's 3-4 with the Panthers.
With a worse football team.
With a much worse football. This team is not good.
Defensively, they're pretty good. Brian Burns is good. That defense is good. Jeremy
Chin.
But
their offense has nothing.
Well, it's kind of like the Broncos.
I mean, at least the Broncos offense has names.
Names you've heard of.
Yeah,
that's true.
Who's the name?
Yeah.
Donta Foreman, DJ Smith, or whatever his
name. Moore.
DJ Moore. Exactly.
There you go. Sam Darnold. You've heard of. Make Baker you've heard of, but, you know.
But, I mean, he ain't playing. He got benched.
He got benched.
They got the XFL kid, but.
Oh, PJ Walker, yeah.
Yeah, names we know.
Right.
But if you turned on that game and you watched the Broncos
who
on Sunday.
Who the hell's that guy?
You're like, Sam, isn't he? Didn't he play for USC? Is that the USC kid?
Is that that kid?
Is that Matt Leinart, a little brother?
One thing, we have one more to play here, and then we're going to talk about Deion Sanders possibly being the Buffs head coach and also look back at the Maverick basketball weekend. Jim of the Buckeye Boy today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. The situation yesterday with Courtland Sutton, where he gets called for the personal foul penalty.
Yeah, I must have missed this.
I was listening to Dave Logan because I was out and about, had to do some stuff yesterday. I couldn't sit and record the game, but I couldn't sit there and watch every single second of it.
Right.
I had some other things I had to do. But there was the altercation during the game, and I'm trying to remember who he had that with. Where a guy stuck his, it was one of the DBs, stuck his hand up in Courtland Sutton's face.
Mm-hmm.
Sutton shoved him away and ended up getting a personal foul penalty on Courtland Sutton. It was just kind of an ugly moment where you've got to control yourself in that situation. I mean, he's a captain. He had the drop in the end zone yesterday as well, which was not good. I mean, Russ put the ball right on him. You can't, unless Russ is going to run over there and hand it to him. Not a good game yesterday for Courtland Sutton.
No, and I don't know if this is just me, because this kind of ties into the, I don't have a ton of positivity or hope tied to this team. The shine is off 1-4 this season for me.
Yeah.
Like, he's just effort, drops, the penalty, just, and like, he is the target offensively now. And he's just not coming through like it.
It's not good when Kendall Hinton right now might be your best receiver.
Yeah. Or Brandon Johnson.
Which, thank you for the nice segue.
Mm-hmm.
Caught his first NFL touchdown yesterday. Of course, the son of C.J. Johnson that played for the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah.
Here's Brandon Johnson with Susie Wirgin after the game.
With wide receiver Brandon Johnson. Brandon, we just try and find a little glimpse of hope here and there. You had your first NFL touchdown. It's been a long road for you this year. What was that like? It was also Russell's 300th career throwing touchdown of his career.
Man, it's a blessing, man. I thank God. I give God all the praise for everything that he's allowed me to go through and lead me up to this point. I mean, I was at home a couple weeks ago. And now I scored my first touchdown, so this is a blessing.
Who gets the ball, you or Russell?
I get it, but I got to give it. Oh, that's a good question.
It's 300 for him.
I want to give it to my folks, but we'll see.
All right. Let's do talk about this game, Brandon. It's been such a rough season. And like you said, you've been watching, maybe on the couch, but you've been keeping tabs of this team. What is the offensive feel? And it's so hard to get things going. And did you feel a division coming at all with the defense? Or is everybody still on the same page?
Everybody's still on the same page. We just got to work through it. And I know the guys in the locker room, they're not going to blink. Just like I'm not going to blink. We're one team. And, that's how we look at it. We're going to keep fighting.
All right, Brandon, congratulations. Thank you. Appreciate the time.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All right, there's Brandon Johnson with a dilemma about who's going to get the ball.
mean, that's his to me. That's his. Ask Mike Purcell who
he could give Russ custody. Like they could have it. Russ could have it on the weekends if he wants to.
Right. From a family of good catcher guys, Brandon Johnson would.
Absolutely.
Different type of catcher, but
still receiving.
Yeah.
Nonetheless.
Good hands, guys.
Broncos, by the way, at Baltimore Sunday, another 11 o'clock start. Oh, boy. 9 o'clock pregame, 11 o'clock kick. Broncos at Baltimore this Sunday on the team. All right, 9:30.
Three of those left.
Yes, we do. All right, 9:30. We'll take a look back at the Maverick basketball weekend here from Taylor Wagner and Mike DeGeorge. But also, we're going to talk prime time. Will Deion Sanders become the next head coach of the University of Colorado Buffaloes? We'll get into that next on the Jim Davis Show.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 9:34. Jim along with the Buckeye boy. Back to the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Jared, like you, Jim, I also couldn't sit and watch every second of the Broncos game, not because I had things to do, because I didn't want to throw up. That's true. I had to actually attend a funeral service yesterday, so that was part of the reason why I didn't sit and watch every single second, watch the first quarter and a half. And then later watched the game because I recorded it. But yeah, that was tough. It was another tough one to watch yesterday.
Yeah, it was.
Woof. But here's the thing. I've seen this on Facebook and other places. I'm going to go be a Chargers fan. I'm not going to be a fan anymore. Stop it. So you're just all the years that you've been a fan, you're now going to go, well, I'm done. Really? You're done.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, you don't have to like what they're doing. You don't have to have orange and blue glasses on, which I tend to try to feel like I'm that way for the most part.
Yeah.
I acknowledge that things have gone terribly for this football team.
Mm-hmm.
Things I was excited about, I now question. But that doesn't mean I cease to be a fan of this football team and want them to win and want them to do well. And I'm going to go root for somebody else. Particularly somebody in my own division.
Yeah, these are the same fans. We talk about Broncos' ridiculous expectations, but also it's the soft part of the fan base, right? That kind of tucked away all their orange and blue mid-summer 1998, kind of came back out 2011, then tucked away mid-summer 2016, and then came back this summer with Russ, and then now it's getting tucked away. So these are the bandwagon fans that are we lost a game to fall to 11-2. But these are still my team.
This
is my team, my Broncos. And now it's like, oh, we're 3-3 and I'm out.
So for the people like yourself and like Cubs fans.
Yeah.
And Bills people like fans. Bills fans that have gone through year after year after year, decade after decade. Of things sucking. So you're just now going to go, I'm done. I don't want to be a fan anymore. Stop that. I hate it when I hear that. I'm not going to be
so done with this team. Okay. The internet always remembers.
Once again, you don't have to like how it's going.
Right.
You don't have to be happy about it. You don't have to be, I still love Coach Hackett. And, you know, we've been accused of being negative.
Okay. What?
I know. Sometimes we're negative.
Me?
Well, it was a we.
So I'm assuming. I must have been. I'm never negative.
But I'm just saying that. Okay, it's fine. It's fine to be negative about them because you can't
They're
sit there.
Three and eight.
You can't sit there and go. This well, just you know, it's a lot of injuries. It's really really tough. It's really really tough for Coach Hackett. Well, no, he's contributed to why they're 3-8.
They're DFL in points offensively. What is there to be positive about there? Third-ranked defense. That's great.
That's great.
Last.
Well, the top scoring defense. That's great. I think, second?
Last.
Second in scoring defense going into the weekend.
Third exiting. Not that bad of a drop.
That's okay.
But, you guys are too late. Of what?
Yeah.
A team that, if they had a first-round pick, would be picking in the top five?
I'm just...
Oh, you're too negative. They're 3-8.
I know. You guys are too negative.
Don't be so negative. Oh, hey, I don't know if it was necessarily
games. About the Broncos, but it was the word is very negative.
How many have they lost? We can't talk about that.
I think we're just pretty straightforward about what reality is. It's kind of what I think, but
you
anyway.
Guys are too negative about the Rockies. Oh, you mean the 68 win Rockies?
Yeah. Where they signed Chris Bryant to an outrageous $182 million deal for him to play, in 50 games?
Yep.
Yeah.
Or we're too negative about a baseball team that damn near won as many games as Phoenix did last year, and they play basketball? They play half as many games.
Oh.
Too negative.
Going from Guru here on the text line. My very first thought when I saw Mike Purcell yell at Russell Wilson, "Who are you? Dude has started only two games this year. Shut your yap and stop the run. Dude gets pushed back every time I see him. Maybe he should have been more focused on stopping Dante Freeman instead of yelling at Wilson." Yeah, it's not a good look that Mike Purcell's not Bradley Chubb. Oh, that's right. He's no longer there. Justin Simmons, Josie Jewell, Draymond Jones. It's probably not a good look that it's Mike Purcell. Colorado kid, nice story. But yeah, but just the frustration has set in.
Somebody had to do it.
Also got one from Jolene over at CDOT. Good morning, Jolene. Good morning, team. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving weekend. We hope the same for you and your family as well. I'm done with Hackett. Give me a veteran coach. Dan Quinn, Frank Reich, Leslie Frazier. Too many rookie mistakes and no adaptations. Also for the weekend, the good. Someone finally got in Russell Wilson's face during a game. Bad. Eagles can score more points than a half than the Broncos can in a full 60 minutes. Oh, very true, Jolene. Ugly. Burns burned the offensive line a lot yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
Oof.
Speaking of Jolene, real quick, did you see Rob Halford, your boy's Judas Priest, with Dolly singing Jolene at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I've watched most of it. It's like 4 hours long.
Yeah.
And I haven't got to the finale.
I haven't gotten to that part.
Where everybody...
Mm-hmm. I am excited, though. I think that's a really cool team.
That was really, really good.
Yeah.
I thought Pat Benatar sounded great.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Rob still sounds pretty good. He's not... How can you expect him to be...
80, almost.
Yeah, as good as he once was. I thought Annie Lennox sounded like maybe she had been sick a little bit.
71 for Rob Halford.
Yeah. But Duran Duran sounded great.
Yeah, they did. Speaking of Priest a little, there's a new Metallica single this morning. And this is me, a novice Judas Priest fan. Feels a little Judas Priest-ish.
Ooh, okay.
A little.
Are you going to play it when we come back here in a little bit?
I can do that, yeah.
Okay, why don't you do that? Let's see. Got one from Dave this morning. Former Major League great, Dave Stewart. Good morning, Dave. Are these the same fans that left at the beginning of overtime? Soft fans is being too polite. Hashtag fake Denver fans. Hashtag Raiders Nation for life. P.S. Which two has been extremely difficult to watch at times? I got to agree, Dave, about the Colts game?
Yeah.
No, we're going to leave. Okay, in some ways I understand. It was a Thursday night game. People have to go to work. But come on.
But you don't need to get home to go to sleep. You've been sleeping for 3 hours.
Suck it up. Stay and watch how it plays out. Steve, I have a good. At least we don't have to worry about planning around primetime games next season. That's very true. Very
true. You get that last place schedule, which you're playing this year.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So let's quickly get to Deion Sanders.
Yes.
Because The Athletic had the report over the weekend, Coach Prime, that over the weekend that the University of Colorado Buffaloes have given him an offer. Now, there's reports that after they play their conference championship game on Saturday, that's when Primetime is going to announce. This is something that I heard from somebody else. It's unsubstantiated. That's when he's going to tell everybody that he's going to Colorado. Caught a little bit of what Keyshawn Johnson was saying. He thinks it's a great move for Colorado and for Deion Sanders. Shadnir Sanders, I believe, I'm probably just totally butchered his first name. He's Deion's kid. He's a quarterback at Jackson State. would assume that he's probably coming with dad, right, to the University of Colorado.
You'd think.
He is a sophomore, by the way.
Sophomore.
3,083 yards, 32 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Yeah, I think Colorado could use that guy. I don't care what level he's playing at. They could use that guy. I'm looking at their running back, who's a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
Savion Wilkerson. He's got over 1,000 yards this season. 8 touchdowns. So there are some good pieces right there for Deion Sanders just from his
some
team.
Some that he could bring.
Guys that he could bring with him that would immediately help the University of Colorado Buffaloes. So the question is this. For you, does this happen? Do we see him this weekend saying, I am coming to Colorado and coaching the Buffaloes?
No.
You don't think he does?
I don't think he does. I don't think he does. I just feel that he's waiting for a better job.
But according to all reports, that there hasn't been a lot of interest from anybody else, though. That there's still a little bit of skepticism about dealing with him. He's coached at the FCS level. Not that that's necessarily unfair, because mm-hmm. he hasn't been there that long.
No, but he is 26-5.
Which is pretty darn impressive.
You know. I mean, he's 19-2 in their conference. In the SWAC. I mean...
I think it does happen. I think he looks at this as a challenge. I think he's a guy that likes a challenge. I think he's, okay, here's a Power 5 job.
Mm-hmm.
If I can go there, a one-win Colorado team, and make them a contender in the Pac-12,
yeah,
then look what that opens up for me otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Because we hear more about what the school's willing to do, transfer portal, NIL, coaching staff-wise, until we hear more about that, I'm going to lean no.
Well, here's one thing. Jackson State's coaching staff is now following the Buffs on Twitter.
Ooh, intrigue.
So that just happened, I believe, yesterday.
They also might be doing that so they get news about where their next job is.
Exactly.
Whether it's with Jackson State or not.
I'm just saying for him, the expectation level is going to be low. He's going to have time. Right? I mean, because you're a one-win football team.
Yeah.
And they're going to give him time. And if he turns that thing around, then all of a sudden you've got SEC schools going, hey. Because right now they're kind of going, Deion Sanders, it might be nice. But, yeah, he's not a guy that's coached at the D1 level,
mm-hmm.
FBS level. It's a good story, but, we're just not sure. He goes to Colorado, Power 5, makes him bowl eligible year one. And then maybe does that again year two, where they contend for a Pac-12 title.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, those schools are going, we need a guy. It looks like Deion Sanders might be the guy. Look what he did in Colorado with the dumpster fire that is. It's a no-lose thing for him.
Yeah, I do think,
it really
think,
is
though,
in that regard.
I do think that he might be holding out for an ACC job, to be honest. That's my opinion. It's because when Florida State told him no thanks when he was angling for that job, I think that that was a mistake on Tallahassee's
possibly.
Part.
Yeah.
Second, I think that I think he might be waiting for an ACC job to just go in there and trounce the Seminoles every chance he gets.
Maybe so.
Or he's waiting for that job to open up again. I don't know.
And that's why Colorado would make sense, because Norvell's not going anywhere right now.
No.
And so that's why Colorado to me makes some sense. Expectation levels are low. There's nowhere mm-hmm. to go but up. And if he fails there, then it's, well, Colorado's, right. I mean, that was a mess, and others have tried and failed, and mm-hmm. and it does. It's, you know, he's still going to find a job someplace else, probably coaching in FBS. But if he goes there and turns it around, and he brings talent there from Jackson State, like his kid, or kids, most notably his son, the quarterback,
mm-hmm.
then all of a sudden they play well, and he now has something to really hang his hat on. In terms of what he's done to really enhance his resume. We'll talk maybe, hopefully tomorrow we'll have more time to talk about the challenges of that job, though.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy, as we've discovered. And there's a lot of reasons why it's not easy. All right, 9:48. Let's quickly get to...
That's the story of the greatest sport moment of all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's This Day in Sports History.
All right, just a couple of This Day in Sports histories for you. Go back to 1981. Alabama's Paul Bear Bryant becomes the winningest coach in college football history as they beat Auburn 28-17 in the Iron Bowl. So he moves past Amos Alonzo Stagg for the most wins ever at that point. 2004, Bengals win a crazy 58-48 game against your Browns. Also 2010, Roger Federer beats Rafael Nadal for his fifth season-ending title. We'll take a break. Go ahead.
It's November. You can't be beating the Indians. You have to beat the Browns in this day in sports history.
That would be true. 9:49. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show.
They're a lot of fun. Oh.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
Say what?
On Colorado's sports leader, the team.
Welcome back, 9:52. Jim and the Buckeye Boy. With the new Metallica. What is this called, by the way?
Lux Aeterna.
Lux Aeterna?
Yes.
Okay. I kind of agree with what you're saying. It's very priest-like.
New album coming out in April, 77 minutes, called 72 Seasons. Tour announced. Opening acts include Volbeat. What's that? I can't think of the name of them right now, but Wolfgang Van Halen, Mammoth WVH
like
is going to be in.
WH.
Yeah, Mammoth WVH.
WVH or something.
The newly reformed Pantera is opening for them. Greta Van Vliet is one of the bands, I think.
Okay.
So they Motionless in White is going to be doing some. Ice Nine Kills. Yeah, they got the two-night, two different sets, two different opening acts tour thing going for the next 2 years.
Very good.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm looking. Any? Are they coming to Denver?
No. Closest is going to be Phoenix and Arlington.
Yeah. Maybe a trip to Phoenix. Who knows?
Maybe. Buddy Mike and Scottsdale is already in on the text line.
Yeah. So that's a possibility. Yeah.
And that's Phil's vanity project. That's not really Pantera. I'm just saying. The Abbott Brothers are gone.
So, yeah, September 1st of next year.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, so let's quickly wrap up the weekend with Maverick basketball. Of course, they had the Holiday Inn Airport Thanksgiving Classic. Maverick women, they played last night against Fort Lewis. They get their first win of the season, winning 78-61. Laura Gutierrez, she had 18 points off the bench. She was one of four Mavericks in double digits last night.
We just needed a little luck. They played phenomenal the first half again. I thought the second half we got a little tight. We didn't decompress like we did yesterday, but they held on and we got the victory, and hopefully we can learn from it.
Yeah, Mavs head coach Taylor Wagner right there. CMU opened the weekend losing to Wayne State, Nebraska, 62-59, a game where they actually had the lead at halftime but got outscored 40-16 in the second half. So they finished the weekend with a split. Maverick men, they won both their games at the tournament this past weekend. They beat Northern New Mexico on Friday, 99-75, and then beat Simon Fraser from Burnaby, British Columbia, 77-62. Mavs head coach Mike DeGeorge says all weekend his team show their mental toughness by not letting a bad possession affect the whole game.
This group, they're just like, we got this. Let's just seal this thing off. They don't let the adversity they face affect how the confidence they play with them that next sequence. And that's great for us as a team this year.
So the Maverick men are now 5-1. Both teams host the Colorado School of Mines on Friday night, Metro State on Saturday on the Team CMU Sports Network. Pregame for the women at 5:15 with the men to follow on both nights. And tomorrow we'll have Mav Day in the 9 o'clock hour. Also tomorrow, Triple Play Records Stadium Cinema on tomorrow's program as well. And we hope to talk with Delta Panthers football coach Ben Johnson as well to wrap up the season. For the Buckeye Boy, I'm Jim. Jim Rome's up next. Have a great day.